Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sart.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
It's always good to be here.
It is. Yeah.
I really enjoy getting to be in the studio and recording, and I really enjoy the topics that we talk about, and I really enjoy days like today when we have a friend in here with us.
Yes, exactly. Our friend, as we've mentioned, is Chris Woodward. Welcome to the studio, Chris.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to get my check to say that. Right. I still write checks. Yeah.
So if you've been listening for very long, obviously this is not Chris's first time with us.
No. Right.
We try to keep him in here at least up every 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Is kind of like our range, because as Christians, this is not generally like a news-based show.
Right.
But we do like to bring it back and have that discussion about what's going on in the world every now and then. And then we bring Chris in. So Chris is with AFN, our American Family News. So if you want to see what's going on and you want to keep up with the news from a Christian perspective, please go to AFN.net where you can find everything they're doing.
Right.
So, and if you listen into that little news spot at the beginning of every hour on the radio, you can go back. If you're like, wait a minute, did I just hear what I think I heard on the radio? You can go to AFN.net and re-listen to that.
Right, yes. Exactly. And I love this segment that we do, this episode that we do, because it is important, like we said, to be aware of what's going on in the world, but especially for Christians, so that we can pray about it. We emphasize that a lot in these kind of episodes, that praying about what's going on in the world, praying about the news, is a good way to sort of turn the negativity that we just are constantly consuming through the news into a positive thing,
right.
So that it's, instead of a way for it to become a burden to us that we're just, oh, it's just wearing us down, oh, we're just so tired of hearing about it, we're exhausted, spiritually exhausted, we can turn this into a way to draw closer to God, but also to present these issues to Him,
right,
and incorporate that into our walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
So, Chris,
and hopefully we can help equip other believers on how to handle these situations and how to discuss them with other people. So, you know what? With that, I think we could just go ahead and segue and get started.
Well, I will use this opportunity before I get into the topics. We did have an article many years ago on this very issue of praying the news. And it was, don't just watch the news and shake your head and get mad and go on Twitter or make a TikTok in your front seat fuming about something. Actually, pray about the things that you saw. Pray that the leaders have wisdom to deal with whatever situation they're having to deal with. Pray that pastors would have a backbone to deal with things going on in the culture. Pray that people would take a stand for Jesus and actually be a Christian Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday mornings.
Right.
So there are things that we can pray about. And as you mentioned, it's a way to turn a negative into a positive. It's a way to draw closer to God in those moments, because the news is not going to get any better. Okay, we're in a lost and dying world. The days of really awesome, fun news for 4.5 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever the newscast length may be, that's not going to happen. I wish it was. And one day when I'm the anchor for the Good News Network up in glory, we're going to worry. We got too much. Where are we going to cut something? Yeah. Oh, we got all eternity. Then it won't be a problem. But, you know, there are reasons and ways that we can take negative things to God, and praying the news is definitely something that we should all do. I would appreciate some prayer, because it's difficult for us. There's only so many of us. There's a ton of stories these days. Sometimes you pop up, you know, you have plans at 9 o'clock in the morning for stories you're going to get out by noon or five or whatever else. And then the president says something, or something happens on the other side of the world, and everything you planned just went out the window.
Right.
Or you're going to try to do it all. So, yeah, it's very difficult, but it's definitely an honor to get to do these things.
Good. Well, why don't we get started here? You got a stack of stories as usual. What's at the top?
Well, this is a story we have covered recently on AFN.net. And from time to time, we have actually discussed this demographic on this program. Religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S in America is the headline here from many of the news outlets. And they're all citing some new information from the Pew Research Center, which says today about 28% of U.S. adults are religiously unaffiliated, describing themselves as atheists, agnostics, or, quote, nothing in particular when asked about their religion. I bring this up because everybody should be teaching and preaching about Jesus. We're called to do that. We're commanded to do that. We're expected to do that. And many churches are still kind of discussing, or maybe they just launched a new evangelism campaign or something like that, to go door knocking, go soul winning, whatever your church may call it. There's a lot of people out there 28%, in fact, that are religiously unaffiliated. They're atheist and agnostic and the other stuff that I mentioned there. These are people that we need to reach out to because, again, every day is a day closer to the end of time, and we need to be the people out there witnessing to these folks.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, if you break down these numbers, even the ones who consider themselves of a religious affiliation aren't necessarily maybe not practicing.
Yeah.
There are some that say they are one thing or another because that's what their family is.
Right.
And they attend church, but they're not practicing, meaning they've not really dedicated their life to Christ. And so there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians that aren't actually Christians.
Yes. And that's a good lens through which to kind of view this, because we can see these numbers be shocked, you know, oh goodness, 20-something%. But actually it's much more than that, because this is only those who are honest about, you know, I don't have an opinion or I don't believe in anything at all. But yeah, like you said, there are even people in the pews every Sunday who are really religious nuns. I mean, they might be religious nuns. They might have a religion.
Yeah. And again, when we say nuns, we don't mean not like him. Catholic nuns. We mean N-O-N-E-S, like nun, no religion.
Just no one's confused.
But you know, and I've been the one who sat in the pew. My parents always had me in church, and I've sat in the pew with no relationship with Christ whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I would have told people that I'm a Christian because I attended church and I was baptized.
Sure. Yeah, and that's one of the key differences between Christianity and obviously the rest of the world's religions, is that it's not just a nominal thing. You know, you don't just say, I am this thing because I do these, you know, traditional, you know, external things. I mean, the scriptures tell us plainly that to be a Christian, you must be born again, and that is a deeply personal, individual, spiritual thing that happens. Yeah. So the numbers in this, they're alarming, and you know, you look out in the world, it's actually not surprising the way things are going that people are without a spiritual rudder at all.
Right.
But even within the church, you do see this sort of mirroring of what's going on in the culture, and you wonder, is maybe, because, you know, it seems that the church has lost a backbone or lost a footing, maybe it's because there are people in the church who maybe even are making decisions about where the church is going who don't have that, you know, they haven't repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus and been indwelt by the Holy Spirit in that way. And therefore, we do have basically these religious nuns in the church making these decisions, and we see this sort of interaction between the two. So, yeah, this is something for Christians to pray about and to have discernment about, and maybe let's be more honest about what we call Christian, you know, versus, you know, what is just sort of Christian adjacent.
Yeah. In the early days in the early church, a Christian was somebody that followed Christ, that they lived for Christ, they were born again, you know, as we think of Christians. But unfortunately, in today's world, if you go to church, or maybe you're in a home where your mom and dad are Christians or members of a church, the news media, politicians, other people in culture, society, what have you, are going to refer to you as a Christian or a religious person. That doesn't mean you are. And to Cedar's point, you know, most nuns say they do believe in God or another higher power, but very few go to religious services regularly. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean that you're saved.
Right.
And that's where we, I think, need to speak up when we have conversations with our friends, because I think a lot of us have friends or acquaintances, neighbors, relatives that do say, well, you know, I see myself as a spiritual person, or I do believe in God, but they've never professed Christ. And that is not going to be very good for them one day when they stand before the throne. And again, we are expected, told even by Jesus, that we need to go out and tell people about him.
Right.
So this is an opportunity.
And if you're like me and you grew up in church, you've heard it before. Even Satan knows God exists.
Yes, exactly.
Even Satan can
I heard it this week,
Satan can quote the scriptures.
I was about to say, that's what the Bible has to say, is like, well, you say you believe, well, good for you. The demons believe and tremble. I mean, that's literally what the Bible says. Belief is nodding your head to a fact that the Bible says does not equal you are one of God's people. So then that's a scary thing that a lot of people may not have heard in their whole life, but that is true. And so what's required of us is to repent and believe. And it's pretty simple, but that is what is required. And that is the difference between, I say, Christianity and the religions of the world.
Right. Another thing that kind of relates to this, scripture tells us to study the Word of God. And I think that's where a lot of us, old, young, what have you, fall short. I myself could do a lot more in terms of personal Bible study, so I'm not preaching down to anybody. Just the amount of time that it takes to stream an episode of a show, or watch a movie, or even play something on the Switch or the Xbox. The amount of time it takes you to do that, you could read a lot, and you could pray about it. You could read it again. Mm-hmm. You could share it with others. You can talk about it. There are ways that you can use that opportunity to grow spiritually, but help others around you as well. And I don't know, I certainly know from my own situation, sometimes we think, well, you know, I put in 8 hours at the ministry that I work for, or I heard a podcast today that was really good, and it made me think about and talk to God. Like, we can't just settle for and go, well, you know, I did a little bit of that today. Yeah. Like, we should all invest more time in God and have that relationship with Him so that others can see us, Him in us.
Yeah, yeah. There is no division between the secular and the spiritual, I think, is something that a lot of Christian leaders would say. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think most people listening probably, and that's way including me, could probably spend more time in Scripture. And you just talked about playing video games. Yeah. I'm like, that's one of my things. I play video games, so there's something that I could, there's always something I could cut out. Right. And there's a lot of people like you guys. Mm-hmm. You are both married with children and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That kind of can become, that can consume your life.
Yeah.
For, I mean,
it can. Absolutely.
And stuff. And that's when you just have to take time and make everybody sit down.
Yes.
Right.
Make it a family event. Make it a family thing. I mean, honestly, I think that's important to do anyway, to instill that in your children and make it a part. But, like, make it a family time.
Yeah. I don't even know that Christians necessarily, and I don't have a news story to back this up, but I would be, I don't think enough people out there that are actual Christians, they don't start up conversations with other Christians. Hey, what did your preacher talk about?
Yeah.
Or what are you guys studying in Sunday school? What did you read in your Bible
today
or whatever? We go with the game, the weather, or, you know, something pop culture-wise, and we don't necessarily even establish or solidify a relationship with other believers about the things that we all say we believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely something that we could do ourselves. I can tell you from my own personal situation with kids, with a job, with responsibilities, this and that, what have you. I have had to resort sometimes to just listening to the Bible in my car.
Yeah.
That can be a little dry when you're driving down the highway and you're listening to Leviticus. But you got some Bible in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lamentations going down the Natchez Trace. Let me tell you, that'll at 50 miles an hour, that'll really get you going. But, like, you know, there are fine ways if you've made a commitment to spend more time with God and maybe read your Bible this year. Make that commitment before you get up and exercise in the morning. Read some Bible. Before you go to bed at night, read some Bible. Something. That way you actually get something in, and then try to think, what did I read last night to recall it? Certainly, we all need to do it. The Bible tells us we need to be doers of the Word.
Yeah, and remember, we're talking about a God who asks for all of us, for, like, everything you have.
Yes.
He's not asking for just, like, can I just have 5 minutes of your time?
Yeah.
This is a God that wants you whole.
He's the king.
You know, like, so if you have a family, your family— is about God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything revolves around Him.
Absolutely.
Well, a couple of this is going into another topic here, but it involves believers.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, for my 14 years here, I think I've covered somebody in this situation the entire time I've worked here. Somehow, some way.
Right.
But we still have court cases involving bakers that declined to design or create a custom wedding cake.
And we've talked about this several times.
Yes, we have.
It's such an important
And until
thing.
The Lord returns, I predict that we'll probably continue to talk about it based on the fact that our legal system runs really slow.
Uh-huh.
But we had a story this week on AFN.net involving a baker in California, and then there's a couple of bakers, they're married in Oregon. They declined a long time ago to design to create a custom wedding cake.
Mm.
People complained. The state brought them up on charges. They're now in court. This issue has gone in and out of court and up and down court systems for a very long time now. But bottom line, it's people of faith, so our brothers and sisters in Christ, trying to live out their faith in their business, and they're having to go to court to establish that they have a First Amendment freedom to say, no, I'll sell you anything, I'll make whatever you want, but I can't make that.
Right.
Yeah. So
if you want a birthday cake, by all means.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't have anything inappropriate or ungodly on it,
Yeah.
you know, make your cake.
Now, in this particular case, the California baker is a woman. The clients are a married couple in Oregon. But even Jack Phillips, as we discussed on a recent recording of this show, he's in court in Colorado because a man who identifies as a woman and wanted Jack to make a transgender reveal cake didn't like that Jack said, no, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. I believe in man, woman. That's it. That situation is in the Colorado Supreme Court. So bottom line, these cases are still in court, even though Jack Phillips won a U.S. Supreme Court case many years ago, which we still have stories on AFN.net.
When you look at these stories, though, like even a win, this person, whoever we're talking about, has already been drugged through the mud for years. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, these cases drag on. Like you said, our legal system is extremely slow.
Yes.
So these cases get dragged on for years.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's that much business that they have lost. And,
right.
And then some of them are having to funnel money into, like, legal, like, help, attorneys and whatever else. And thank goodness we have people who are who make it their mission to help people, like the bakers that we've discussed. But like, there's a lot of them. A lot of times, their business is not going to be the same, and they may not even have their business anymore by the time they come. Even if they win their case,
they
may not even have their business coming out on the other end.
Yeah, and it seems like there's punishment is just sort of built into the process. Like it's almost you know, it matters if they win or not because that sets a precedent for everybody else following in their footsteps. Mm-hmm. But for them particularly, like you said, I mean, this could have such a huge toll on their lives that, you know, it might as well have been that they lost for them. So they definitely need our prayer. And I think sometimes it's easy to, you hear about these kind of stories, you're like, oh, well, I've heard about that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's old news to me. But I mean, it's not old because it's still
happening.
Going on.
Yeah. It's still happening.
And this is somebody's life, you know, and I think that that's a very important thing spiritually, but even like politically, like there's a concept called freedom of association, where it's like, if you as a particular person don't want to be associated with an ideology or a belief system that you are opposed to, then you have the freedom to not be associated with that.
Well, the thing is that blows my mind is that you own a business. Is it not your right to turn away service?
Yeah.
I mean, turn away like business if you don't want to work with somebody.
Yeah, and I know the arguments towards, you know, well, you know, you don't want unfair you know, preferential treatment. But I mean, as long as nobody's life is depending on it, you know, like nobody needs your cake or they're going to die.
And the thing is there are plenty of other places that would immediately take their
this
business away.
This is a targeted attack is what it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, the headline of our story this week is talking about these two cases, the one in California and the one in Oregon. Our headline was, these cases aren't really about cakes. It's about forcing you to believe in and support whatever it is I want to do in my own free time. Regardless of what the Constitution may allow you to do. There were arguments in Oregon at the Court of Appeals for the Kleins, the couple in Oregon, and justices at one point during the proceedings questioned whether or not the business relationship between the owner or the baker and the client, the customer, the fact that they work together and the customer is paying you to make this cake and put such and such on it, there was a discussion as to whether or not that relationship does away with whatever one party wants to do. But then other judges were like, well, no, because that person still has the First Amendment rights to say whatever he or she wants and to decline whatever he or she wants. So bottom line, this is going to affect you somehow, some way, because if you start a business at some point, you could be the one hauled into court because you didn't want to make something, or somebody made false accusations about you saying, you know, you go to church or whatever it may be. So what happens in Oregon or California or Colorado, whatever it may be, could be in your state, especially when you consider the increasing amount of like diversity, equity and inclusion stuff, which has been popping up in corporate boardrooms and in workplaces around the country.
Yeah. And it could be easy, too, to think, well, I'm never going to open a bakery, or I'm never going to have a whatever kind of service where I, you know, could be taken advantage of in that situation. Well, this is just a stepping stone, right? This is not this is not going to stop at those people. This is going to continue. Like you said, this is a part of a greater, you know, trend that will in some way affect you, whether that's the things you can say online or in public or what have you.
I mean, look at our school systems. I cannot tell you the number of times that there's still good schools out there. I'm not saying the entire, you know, public school, every public school ever is, you know, awful. I still know some schools that have godly teachers and administration, and I'm thankful for that. But there are so many today where you're seeing stories where parents are finding out that this school system is giving their children different medications. Some parents found out that they had given their daughter a chest binder so they could so that she could bind her chest to be like a boy.
Yeah.
And they do all of this stuff without the children, like without the parents' knowledge or permission. And so there's just the idea they're going into these schools and they're, again, creating that atmosphere where you have to conform and agree with them. And if you don't, I mean, your children might be taken away or something like that, you know. And like some of these schools have been known to call like child protective services if you disagree with them or take your children out of the school.
Yeah.
Wow.
A number of attorneys have told us that your rights as a parent do not end when your child or children walk through the schoolhouse doors. It's the same thing with a student who might be told you can't tell somebody, you can't tell a classmate about Jesus, something like that. One's personal rights or property do not end when you step foot on somebody else's property, in other words. Even, you know, especially schools are taxpayer funded, so mom or dad is paying for that school or they're paying the tuition, whatever it may be. For that child to be there. So these kinds of cases, I was just having a conversation with one of our new reporters, Bronson. All of us could do like a First Amendment DEI kind of woke indoctrination story every day, and we still wouldn't put a dent in the amount of things that are out there. These are issues happening all over the country, including in red states or at popular, well-known universities not named Berkeley or you know, Harvard. It's happening all over the place, even in places where conservatives are known to be in large numbers.
Right, yeah. So it's definitely up to us. We need to be praying, first of all, for all these cases and for, you know, the bakers, everybody involved in these cases, but also the overall impact across our country of this kind of thing.
And I know that you don't hear this as much when we discuss these topics. Pray for the individual or the people who are pushing this lawsuit. Pray for them to have a change of heart and pray for them to find Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
I have always wondered whether or not now, obviously, the Lord played a role and was the reason Saul became Paul and went on to preach the gospel to many people. And many people are in glory now because of Paul leading them to Christ and showing them the way, the truth, and the life. But I always wondered, like, was there somebody in being persecuted by Saul that prayed for him based on the teachings from Jesus that we are to pray for those who persecute us?
Yeah.
I've always wondered that. Like, is there some man or woman we're going to meet in heaven that is going to be like, yeah, you know, we were having a little small group on Tuesdays and we were praying for Saul, even though many people were saying he didn't deserve it and we should fight him and all this other stuff. I just wonder, like, we know from other points in the book of Acts where people were gathered to pray for Peter.
Yeah.
Remember when he shows up and the lady's like all excited that he's there and she leaves him in the doorway.
Yeah.
Even though he's like just escaped, you know, and she goes to tell everybody and they're like, oh, it's probably a spirit or whatever. Like, people were gathered in prayer back then. And, you know, there are, I think there are those kinds of situations we can learn from in 2024 from the early church.
Absolutely. We need to take seriously the idea of loving our enemies and praying for those who persecute us. And I don't think that that's a very popular teaching, but that is something we certainly need to practice.
Yes. One other topic here is something we, again, have talked about it before on the show, but the economy, it's still rough. It's not getting, it's better, but it could be a lot better. And a lot of people are still struggling. People of all income scales are still struggling. They're having to make cuts. Ministries are having to deal with situations because maybe donations are not as much as they thought they would be, whatever it may be. I know we all don't have, you know, we're not all rolling in money.
No.
if there's a way maybe we can find somebody in our church or just something to maybe help out with, volunteer, what have you, that's kind of another challenge for 2024 in terms of what we ourselves can be doing to help out somebody. We just had a big ice storm. A lot of people were out helping their neighbors try to get out of their driveway.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe clear off the road. It was funny. And where I live, it was kind of the good old boy network of a guy in a truck with like a pallet tied to a rope and was going up and down the road to clear it off so we could all get around. There are things we can do without expecting somebody in government to come and help us.
Yeah.
Ask a neighbor or ask a widow in need or something. Hey, I'm going to the store. Do you need some bread or milk or something to help somebody make a difference? Because I know we're all struggling, but somebody has probably got it a lot worse than we do.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that's a great reminder. And yeah, the widows, the orphans, the ones in needy, that's something that the scriptures command us as Christians to always remember and always be on the lookout for ways to minister to them. And thankfully, there are many ways to minister to them, even within the church. I think, you know, just go into your church leaders and saying, hey, is there a need in the church that I can help contribute to? If you find yourself in a place where you can do that, I think that's wonderful. Emulating the early church where they shared all things in common. And they had this fellowship of helping one another through very difficult and dark times. I think we can emulate that and reflect that. Well, thanks, Chris, for being on with us again.
You.
Always love these episodes where we get together and talk about what's going on in the world, even though some of the things going on in the world, not fantastic, but good to be reminded to pray.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that we are being the light of Christ when we discuss this. I'm hoping that it's not just a positive spin, but like a hopeful spin.
Exactly.
Where we are looking to Christ and what he's, you know, ultimately in the end, he is won and he has saved us, and we want that for the other people and the ones that we talk about that don't agree with us. We want that for them as well.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, well, if you want to see more from Chris Woodward, you go to afn.net.
Great.
Yep. afn.net and check him out there. And until next episode, guys, keep sharing truth and applying scripture.